שלום, אנחנו בשיעור בנושא הסירייה, היא הוויה אחת שלמה.
Hello, we are on the topic of the ten is a one whole הוויה. We will read selected excerpts from the sources. You can download these excerpts from our website. You can also ask questions on kam.tv. We'll continue with quote number 9. The ten is one whole הוויה.
כן.
Yes. So we will indeed continue according to the list of the ten is one complete Havaya. However, I'd like to ask of our whole Kli, the world Kli, together with us, to think about our dear friend from St. Petersburg, Timur Abdulkadirov, that he has a health issue. I'm certain that if we will think about him, it will help him. We will ask of the Creator. So, please. We're reading from the collection of excerpts, quote number 9 from Rabash, article 108, The Ruin of Sanctity. One must ask the Creator to bring him closer to him, as it is insolence on the part of men. For how is he more important than others? However, when he prays for the collective, which is Malchut, called the Assembly of Israel, the sum total of all of the souls, that the Shekhinah divinity is in the dust, and he prays that she will rise, meaning that the Creator will light up her darkness, then all of Israel will rise in degree too, including the person who is asking, who is included in the collective. Indeed, if we do the right, the true calculation, it becomes immediately clear that one must not ask for himself, because by that it becomes separated from the general Kli, what the Creator is, and that general collective Kli is the Shekhinah divinity, and by asking for himself, he seemingly cuts himself off from the Shekhinah. Rather, he needs to ask for the whole, for everyone. And the more he will try to connect, to immerse in the collective, in divinity, there he will feel that indeed this is divinity, this is what the Creator is, and when he will reach his revelation, coming closer and even adhesion, all kinds of degrees of adhesion, it all depends on how much he more and more and more ascribes himself to the collective. Therefore, to ask for oneself, it's like cutting himself off from the life of lives. However, we do not feel it. We are confused about it. But one who starts to see the system, it is very simple. I dwell among my own people. And we just have to ask for that, to also belong to that same Shekhinah, to the same system where everyone is included. However, out of us, out of our perception, it is hidden. This is the concealment. Therefore, one must not ask the Creator to bring him closer to him, as it is insolence on the part of men. I, of course, will not say anything against Rabash, but I would say that it is even foolishness on the part of men. He doesn't know what he's doing. He is actually distancing himself from the good. For how is he more important than others? However, when he prays for the collective, which is Malchut, called the Assembly of Israel, the sum of all of the souls, the divinity which is in the dust, in his eyes it is in the dust. In truth it is not in the dust. In truth there the Creator is, and it is full of the light of En Sof, and there is no flaw in it at all, besides what seems to a man, because of the shattering in him. And then he prays that she will rise in his eyes, meaning that the Creator will light up her darkness. Then all of Israel will rise in degree too, with respect to the person. It is all with respect to the person, including the person who is asking, who is also included in the collective. So, how should we see reality correctly? That is the question. Me, divinity, the creator, what is going on? Should I promote all of them, everyone, to the end of a correction? Or is it that I have to correct everything only in my eyes, and besides me, everything is corrected and there is no problem in the world? Rather, the problem is in me. How should we arrange reality? Go ahead.
איך אני צריך לסדר את המציאות? אני צריך לסדר את המציאות ש...
How do I arrange reality? I need to arrange reality in a way that I nullify, and I find myself in the biggest gift the Creator has given me, which is the Ten, and also between us, not to forget who arranges everything. And it reminded me of, you know, Rabash Volume 3. Rabash was basically like tweeting in back then with these small excerpts. And so it's always to just take us out of where we are during the day, not to forget to then pray for the whole of Israel.
Yes, there are indeed all kinds of sides from which you can look at it. On the one hand, I need to push everyone toward correction and see myself as though everything depends on me. On the other hand, we need to see that reality is also in a state of wholeness. So it's a kind of a dynamic game where, in the end, everything unites to one. Specifically between these two states, we discover many discernments. The example of the cell, which is a part of a general body, very much puts things in place. If I make sure to invest in the body, then I rise along with the body. The concealment took this thing away from me, and so it's very important to wash ourselves all day within the lesson, throughout the day, to integrate with the ten and with what we had in the lesson. Yes, I also had this answer that in this thinking about the cell, that indeed each one is a part of the big kli. You might say that each one is like a cell with respect to the body and is obligated to the entire body. So in the ten, we're like an organ. Each one in the ten, he builds the organs in the ten and the entire ten towards the entire body. In short, each one is obligated to his role towards the public, the collective.
We need to publicize and advertise the greatness of the Creator and always try to stop trying to change Him and rather change ourselves to cling to His quality.
Yes, and actually, when we go out to disseminate and advertise the greatness of the Creator, I'm not convincing others, I'm convincing myself. These are parts of me. The reality in which I see humanity as broken actually reflects all of the corruptions in me. A person cannot see in himself what is wrong in him, what is corrupted in him. Rather, the whole world was given to him outside of him so that he can recognize the flaws that are in him.
We have to work on both levels in parallel. In this world, go out as much as possible and work with our hands and legs, but in the spiritual world, always internal.
If we learn from the perception of reality that other than men, everything is corrected, and what I see that everything is corrupted, I see it because of my corruption through my ego. And if I would cancel my ego, then according to the degree of my correction, I would see a corrected world, even all the way to the end of correction, where nothing in the world would need to be corrected if I am corrected. So, if so, how do I behave in the group? if one who disqualifies is disqualifying because of his own flaws, how should I therefore behave in the group? Please.
Love covers all crimes. What doesn't let me see the complete ten, where there's bestowal, connections of bestowal between one another. It's just my crimes, and how do I cover my crimes? By trying to show and pray for changing my attitude to the ten from an egoistic attitude to an attitude of love and bestowal.
The end result is in the preliminary thought. Before getting into our auto mode, we need to pause for a second, connect to the general thought, to the big picture, and know who and what are we correcting, the shattering, the broken part in me, and from there, we simply need to operate step by step according to what we're being taught by our teachers.
כן, ואז אם אני רואה בתפיסה הזאת בעצם וזוכר, זה דבר ש...
And if I then see this perception, and it's love covers all crimes. I don't demand someone outside of me for something, or judge someone, or blame someone. Rather, look at how much I can contribute to the group and push the group forward.
Yes, there
are so many Rabash essays about it, that each moment you need to see how great the friends are, how little I am. If I discover a flaw, the flaw is in me.
Yeah, to see that the friends are in the final correction and functioning correctly according to the Creator. And only I need to change myself, basically, in order to better integrate with them. Quote number 10 from Noam Elimelech, Likutei Shoshana. One must always pray for his friend, as one cannot do much for himself. One does not deliver oneself from imprisonment. But when asking for his friend, he's answered quickly. Therefore, each one should pray for his friend, and thus each works on the other's desire, until all of them are answered.
And if I pray for the friends, and they do not pray for me, what happens then? It's a question. Each one should pray for his friend. This he for him and he for him, etc. And if I pray for them, but they do not pray for me, what happens then? Go ahead. Who's going to help me? We have to discover laws that exist in the ten, in the Havaya, right? So, let's see. Simply, we need to investigate, to research. If everyone prays for everyone except for one, what about him? Go ahead.
If a person feels that no one prays for him, then he needs to add more demand to the Creator, because probably he's seeing something wrong.
Yes, on the one hand, this system, in order for it to be complete, it requires everyone, that everyone will pray for everyone. It's enough if one doesn't do it, and this whole structure falls. On the other hand, we can't come with complaints. Each one should only complain about himself and ask the Creator for forces so that he'll be able to hold the friends all the time in his prayer and not let anyone fall.
I think that in such a case, there is no reason to complain to an individual. The problem is of the ten, because it's supposed to come from a complete kli. And if there's no complete kli, then there's just no ten. It doesn't matter if one is missing or someone else, or we always have to see that we have ten sefirot, that we have one whole kli that we pray for.
In Shamati 1 it says, and when a person sees that there are things in the world that deny the upper household, the reason is because this is the Creator's desire. If there is none else besides Him, and this is the essence of my work, then I don't care. I just have to be connected to the essence of the work. So long I can work, so long that I can pray, so long that I can ask for correction and act for correction, this should be enough for me. All the rest is there is none else besides Him.
And
who drank, who planted this thought that about the others?
Rab, why when I pray for everyone and they don't even pray for me, that's already the salvation of the Lord, that I can pray for everyone and I don't demand anything in return, that something will happen to me. That's already the answer from the Creator. If I'll be able to ask for others,
if
I think of others, then I'm basically in equivalence. There's this part about being a pipeline, that receiving for everyone else, being in the direction of bestowal. If you're praying for others, everything comes through you. So the Creator bestows to you if you pray for the others.
Yes, there's an opportunity to resemble the Creator. This is what we're here for, so it's a great privilege to even have this possibility.
Yeah, and I only ask to work in order to bring Him contentment by connecting the friends. And if I see they don't pray for me, then what I identify with lack of prayer is because of me. It's more place for me to add prayer for them.
The whole thing is about us reaching bestowal, and you reach bestowal by asking for others, by coming out of ourselves.
We always say that the exertion is the reward, and not that the friends need to love me, rather I need to love them. And here there is room for the person to check himself, to see that I truly want for the sake of others without anything that comes back to me.
Out of this prayer, if one can pray, for sure his interest is the Creator, that the Creator will have contentment, not that some reward will come to him. Rather, indeed, I truly don't care. I'm not interested about what's happening outside of me. I know that there's the Creator who is good, who does good, and I'm willing to be the pipeline without receiving anything so long as I bring him contentment. Yes, and a person necessarily will fail in it. Therefore, again, it's required in order to hold the thought, the prayer for the salvation of the Lord. And this holds him in a state where he's constantly requiring the salvation of the Lord. Nothing else can hold him. We're reading quote number 23 from the prayer of the many. The advice is to ask for the collective, meaning that everything that he feels that he is lacking, he asks for fulfillment for, he should not say that he is leaving the collective, meaning that he deserves more things than the whole collective has. Rather, I dwell among my own people. That is, I am asking for the collective because I want to reach a state where I will not care for myself at all. Rather, only for the Creator to have contentment. Therefore, it makes no difference to me if the Creator takes pleasure in me or can receive the same pleasure from others. In other words, he asks the Creator to give us such an understanding which is called entirely for the Creator. It means that he will be certain that he is not deceiving himself, that he wants to bestow upon the Creator, that perhaps he is really thinking only of his own self-love, meaning that he will feel the delight and pleasure. Therefore, he prays for the collective. Again, the advice is to ask for the whole collective. In other words, everything that one feels that he is lacking and asks fulfillment for, he should not say that he is an exception or deserves more than the collective has. Rather, I dwell among my own people. Meaning, I am asking for the entire collective because I wish to come to a state where I will have no care for myself whatsoever, but only for the Creator to have contentment. Therefore, it makes no difference to me if the Creator takes pleasure in me or he can receive the same pleasure from others. In other words, he asks the Creator to give us such an understanding which is called entirely for the Creator. It means that he will be certain that he is not deceiving himself, that he wants to bestow upon the Creator, that perhaps he's really thinking only of his own self-love, meaning that he will feel the delight and pleasure. Therefore, he prays to the Creator for the collective.
Rav, how do I realize in the 10 the condition of Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction? Please.
The
condition for Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, is it's not to act, not to do anything in the auto mode as it appears to me, as it seems to me, but first to pray and ask, to feel the need of the group, to simply feel it and act from there.
Basically, bit by bit, because we begin from lo lishma to lishma, we don't hit a button and then it works. We have to make as many actions as possible so that my attention shifts to the 10 and not to myself.
After non-stop attempts, each time re-signing the covenant that the Creator will help us, the light shines on us into a sufficient extent that we succeed, all of us, all the time, to think about each other, so that we will only be in prayers for the 10 in order to bring the Creator contentment, and that will be Tzimtzum Aleph.
We just want to see reality as a single Creator and a single soul, Adam Rishon. And everything I do in that is only contribute myself, devote myself to this kli the Creator fulfills. And then we need to see the greatness of the Creator, and then the light works in that state. In short, without any return to myself.
Rav, can we say that if I stop thinking about myself completely, this is already Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction? This is a question for a workshop.
They say, even though one really wants and annuls himself, then so he has to discover that he has a strong desire and all of his essence is for himself. And then he takes this out towards the friends.
Yes, first of all, we need to stop stealing, to be in such shame towards the ten, not to want to take anything from it. That's the first stage.
It's a state where I can't anymore receive for myself and absorb that intention to receive. And I make a scrutiny before every action. In every interaction with the ten, do I want to get some reward from it, for myself, or I'm entirely dedicated to bestow to the friends?
If I stop thinking about myself, yeah, but how can I stop thinking about myself? How can a will to receive stop wanting for itself? We need heaven's mercy for that. I don't know.
Stop thinking about myself is probably some sort of a delusion, because it's like being an angel. The excerpt said, even though one thinks about himself, he stops himself and then thinks about raising the spirits of the friends. I would translate it like that, meaning to work with these strength.
Yes, this is why we were given the ten. The more we make efforts towards that, and we discover how much we're not in it, the Creator reveals to us the evil, constantly giving us an opportunity to clean up another layer of this self, myself, that doesn't want to let go. Then there's room for a prayer.
Once again, the light that reforms, it has to cook the person until the quota has been filled, and then he can do it.
But not thinking about myself is not enough. There are all kinds of mental, certain mental illnesses where people don't think about themselves, but they're not under the first restriction. So we need to have a great creator and shame towards that and this entire process in order to reach that.
Yeah, the creator has to be in the picture. This lack of connection, this contrast between me and towards him.
Actually, we talked a lot recently about the fact that a person is in prison, and if not for the friends that pull him out of there, that throw him a rope, he won't be able to stop thinking about himself.
We need our vut here on the part of the ten to hold on to that state. Quickly, a person falls to the will to receive within seconds. Only if we decided between us and made a covenant that everyone works only for the whole body and not for his self-benefit.
Yes, the question is it allowed to ask to stop thinking about myself? Is that not a request for myself? The very request seemingly is about yourself, for yourself. I don't know, it's a kind of a catch.
Rav, let's say that we did it. I don't think about myself at all, only from me outwards. How do I build the Rosh of the Partsuf? How do I start building from that the Rosh of the Partsuf?
How
do we build the Rosh of the Parzuf? How do we find this connection beyond so that it always lives in us? Because to give him contentment means to pass it on.
I don't know.
If we succeeded together as a 10 in holding each other in thoughts about others, and now there's a certain degree of the Creator between us, that does not give him enough contentment because we have to extend the light on. We have to see how much later we can receive the light between us a little bit in order to extend it on without losing the intensity of this resistance.
We are nourished from above and receive advice from Kabbalists and light from the greatness of the Creator that gives us strength not to think of ourselves, because first the Creator needs to be great, and then we realize it in trying to give back to the Creator through the group, through the 10.
We work above the flavors, tastes of it's good for me, I feel good, I feel bad, to give contentment to the Creator.
Rosh of the Parzuf, he makes a calculation how much it can receive strength in order to put it into the 10, give it to the group, and only by that, from that, he opens himself up.
Yes, if I succeed to not think about myself, a person starts to feel empty. The will to receive becomes scared. Then it's the time that a person should truly build the Rosh of the Parzuf and fill himself entirely with the light of Hasadim and see how from here on he doesn't search for more fulfillment. Rather, it starts to be filled up specifically with the quality of bestowal.
Fulfillment is the goal of creation. It just has to be fulfillment for the sake of others. If there's already a common aim, a common intention not to think of oneself, then every request from the Creator that comes from this intention is necessarily for others, if it's not for myself. Then I do begin to work with the returning light and fulfill the purpose of creation, which is to benefit the created beings, and that's exactly the Rosh of the Parzuf.
Yes,
and this grip is already a connection with him. The connection with him will guide us on how we need to continue to extend it. Just like the whole system is built from above downward, this connection, we should simply grip it, not let go, and continue with these forces of nature that guide us, not to forget about the Creator.
Yeah, basically there's more and more calculations and subtle calculations about the desires and where can I bestow. Basically every place I can bring contentment, I become purified with it over desires where I see that I can't.
There too it will also continue as we learn, as we study, that the light needs to purify and we need to begin each degree anew in order to receive more and more disturbance in our connection with the Creator.
Yeah, if we think about the Rosh of the Parzuf, there's no place for self thoughts. Only makes a calculation of how much to bestow and use whatever it receives in order to give back the maximum.
We start to work above the Creator's concealment.
Quote number 11. This is from Rabash, they helped everyone his friend. There is one thing common to all, the mood. It is said, a concern in one's heart, let him speak of it with others. This is because with regard to feeling high-spirited, neither wealth nor erudition can be of assistance. Rather, it is one person who can help one another by seeing that one's friend is low. It is written, one does not deliver oneself from imprisonment. Rather, it is one's friend who can lift his spirit. This means that one's friend raises him from his state into a state of liveliness. Then, one begins to reacquire the strength and confidence of life and wealth, and he begins as though his goal is near him now. It turns out that each and every one must be attentive and think, how can he help his friend raise his spirit? Because in the matter of spirits, anyone can find a needy place in one's friend that he can fill.
How can I see in another a lack, a deficiency in his spirit, his mood? How can I see in someone else, in a friend, a lack in his spirit that I can fill up?
תמיד אפשר להוסיף
We can always add greatness of the Creator, urgency towards connection, wholeness of the Ten, importance of the lesson, importance of the Rav. I don't really need to go and see what's the point exactly where the friend is right now, but just to always strengthen and show the enthusiasm and joyfulness on the path and gratitude to the Creator for being in wholeness with Him.
Yes, to show the greatness, to add greatness, and to increase the efficiency for this whole thing. That's it. It's completely unrelated to where one is. This is where he is. That's my work. That's my commitment to them.
We look truthfully, a person comes to a true state, then how can he see the deficiency of one's spirit? Because everyone receives it from the others, so everyone can see it in the others.
Yes, if a person is included in the group, then he feels how much he does not exist and all that he has is to truly flow of this pipeline of oxygen that the Creator gave him in order to pass it on. This is how the system lives and breathes.
Yeah, the more I pay attention to them and integrate with them, the more I can feel the deficiency of the spirit and to strengthen the friend and support the friend.
According to what it says, each friend can always add. No person has too much spirit and now he needs to have some diet in his mood. So this should be my approach to life, to always search for how in the ten, to each one separately and to everyone together, how I keep adding spirit.
If he's a friend of me and he has a point in the heart, there we can always see a deficiency for the greatness of the Creator, because the Creator is infinite, His greatness is infinite, and His fulfillment that He wants to give us is infinite, so we can always add. That's the whole condition here, that the more we add to it and appreciate it, the more it comes.
The spirit of life, that's from the side of the system, we're obligated to pass it on to each other. This is the structure of the system in order for us to create connections between us. A person by himself cannot achieve this.
Rav, how do I see in the ten my spiritual image? How do I see in the ten my spiritual image? I look at them like a mirror, and I see my spiritual shape. Try to see it, to portray it to yourself somehow. Go ahead.
We can see it from multiple directions. One direction is, if I see friends who are growing weaker in the ten, or lacking spirit, lacking strength, then I should realize that this is a reflection of my state, that I have grown weaker, that my desire has waned, that I lost a little bit of that responsibility and concern for them. This is what I need to correct. This is where I need to add. Another additional direction could be that I see them as whole, connected, loving. And this is something that I should take as an example and aspire to.
It's very clear, the more you're engaged in the ten, the more you're engaged in the Creator and spirituality. The question is, what happens during the day? And how the thing that is so clear to us here becomes clearer to us following that, when we're not physically connected. How the connection that we have when we're not here connected physically, how does it sustain us during the day? That's the whole thing.
Logically, at least, I guess the way it all falls into place, in order to feel it somehow, we need to share with the light, with the excerpts, talk to the friends, do something that makes this light flow through you. Then you start to see it vividly, because everything around you is really your soul, especially the friends in the ten, which are the closest circle.
The picture of the ten appears where I see myself and overcome, and it's one and zero. It's because seeing myself non-existing in reality from the place of self-annulment and exiting myself as many times as possible during the day, during the lesson, during every breath, and even when you forget, then who organized it? Tomorrow we continue again and don't give up, and that's our whole work.
Yes, actually what we study from the perception of reality is that outside of the person, well, what's outside the person? He sees his own soul. Specifically in the work in the ten, one feels all kinds of discernments in his relation to them, and also with respect to him, all kinds of discernments that surface. And this gives him a lot of indication to see where he is with respect to the Creator and with respect to each friend.
And during the day, the disconnects also come from the Creator, and they're necessary. They build the longing to come back to the lesson and to pray. And there's a reason for being in the corporeal world. We were given different ways to set times for the Torah, to open a document with the sources on the computer at work, to set a reminder on your phone, or listen to the lesson when you're commuting. There's all kinds of ways to bring ourselves back to the lesson.
I don't quite know what ten spirit are, but I know that there are different qualities, even contrasting in that, and this is revealed in the ten. And the fact that we're all under one umbrella, one goal that we all strive for,
Sometimes we're like Malchut with respect to the friends we receive from them. Sometimes we're like the Ketel, and we get some illumination that we can bestow to the friends. But it is only possible to see this picture in the ten. It is otherwise it's disconnected, and there's nothing that connected altogether to the goal.
As we learned yesterday, that the ten is a lens.
ציטוט מספר 16 מתוך מאור ושמש פרשת יתרו. צריך שידמה לו שחברו עובד את השם.
Quote number 16 from מאור ושמש, Light and Sun, the portion of Jethro. One should depict his friend as serving the Creator more than him, and others or counters envy increases wisdom. By this he will grow increasingly stronger in the work of the Creator. This is the meaning of each one is burned by his friend's canopy, from the word fervor. By seeing that his friend's canopy is bigger than his, a fire will burn in him, and his soul will further ignite towards the work of the Creator, and he will attain more attainments of godliness. Again, one should depict his friend as serving the Creator more than him. And offers, also counters envy, increases wisdom. By this he will grow increasingly stronger in the work of the Creator. This is the meaning of each one is burned by his friend's canopy, from the word fervor in Hebrew. By seeing that his friend's canopy is bigger than his, a fire will burn in him, and his soul will further ignite towards the work of the Creator, and he will attain more attainments of godliness.
Rav, what's the difference whether I see the friends in the ten, some or all, as greater than me, or I see them as, you know, not all that, and I have to put in the efforts in order to envision them as great. So what's the difference between seeing them naturally as great? Everyone to some extent, but there's something to be envied in each and every one. Or I have to portray to myself all kinds of pictures in order to be envied them. So what's the difference between natural envy and artificial envy? What's going on with you today? This is a... There's a, like a general comma. Coma, like
What's the difference between natural envy of the friends, where you see each one of them how great he is, or making depictions by himself and searching what to make great in the friends? It reminds me a little bit about an awakening from above versus an awakening from below. If naturally you get envy in the friends, it means that the Creator has shined for you and you don't have much work to do by yourself. And an awakening on your behalf is that you try to draw these forces, you try to make them great, you try to make these depictions in order to see them as great, even though they're anyway in this state, but you generate, you create this reality.
Both is good. Both are good as long as it's not indifference. And as long as I have some kind of attitude towards the friends and see them as great, then it doesn't matter if it's through some manipulation that I pulled on myself or I see them naturally that way. It's not the main thing. As long as I relate to them and I ask the Creator to be closer to them.
Natural envy necessarily comes from the ego. Even if the ego depicts in me pictures that it's all purposeful, it's still the ego. I need to actually take those that I'm not naturally envious of. Those that appear to me as less than me, or I don't even care about them, and to start searching in them what to be envious of. So I do it as if I'm like a child who's going with the steering wheel as though he's driving. By that, I start to come close to the right direction.
So
It's a little bit like the difference between a man and an angel. With free choice or without free choice. If it's out of overcoming, then he builds an entire level. Or two levels, if you can say that. Where he's above himself. On the one hand, he feels the ego. On the other hand, he builds all of the spiritual, the correct spiritual connections out of himself. Maybe the difference is not precisely in that, but in the frequency that with which it changes. The more I work and integrate with the friends, Rav, what qualities precisely should I be envious of in the friends? What should I see in the friends that I'll be envious of towards the attainment of the goal? Go ahead. The more I see in them that they make the Creator greater in my eyes, that I see them as influencing, bestowing this image that they are constantly thinking of others, caring for others, acting for others. Actually, they're reminding me about the quality of bestowal and love. They're bringing me closer to the Creator. Each friend here received a different package that he has to cope with. And when I see a friend who takes the cards that he received and he uses them above his human forces, you know, to devote himself for the group and to set an example and to help others, from this I truly get from them an example and forces. In the simplest way, the fact that the Creator gave the friend a desire, a point in the heart, and he holds him on the path, this is already something you can be envious of to any level. Yes, each one is a unique point of connection with the Creator, for me. And this is something that I truly must preserve and cultivate, because there's nobody else just like him.
There
are friends that you can truly be inspired from the fact that they are always in joy and gratitude for being on the path. There are friends that you can be inspired from their devotion, their dedication. There are those that you can be impressed by their concern for the world in dissemination. There are friends that you can be inspired from the overcomings that they do over all kinds of situations that they go through in the corporeal world or in the group. You need to always detect this point in the friend that yearns for the Creator, and it is what moves him, it is what activates him. I think mostly the friend's ability to overcome, to rise above himself. All the other things, it's another recipe for my ego wanting to be even more successful in things that it's not successful in. But if I put the finger on the truth, it's to simply know how to justify each and everything, to judge any friend to the scale of merit, overcome every situation that I'm on, that I have. That's the quality I'd like to acquire from the friends. Next, also the fact that he's your friend, because I would not be my own friend. Really. So, the fact that he's still your friend, holding you, that's a place for great envy.
Now,
if, nevertheless, behind each friend stands the Creator, then how should I relate to the friend? Let's see. What is required of me? How should I relate to the friend if the Creator is standing behind him? Either the friend is zero and I relate to the Creator, or the Creator somehow plays with me through him. So that, nevertheless, there is, on my side, I ascribe it or relate both to the Creator and to the friend, to both of them. What does it mean that behind each friend stands the Creator? the creator is standing behind him, not that the friend is the creator, rather the creator is standing behind him, and what I need to do is to do the right work with the friend, even the specific friend, in order to reach, to put together the entire puzzle of the creator. Each friend is a little bit different because it's a different part of the soul. Next, it means, as the lesson started, that man is a small world. Divinity is in the dust, means that I see divinity in the dust. And actually, everything is in the end of correction, everything is happy, everything is complete, and I need to correct the broken part in me.
Yeah, this reality is like a glove to your hand. It's how the creator behind the friend, behind everything, he stands and gives us an opportunity, always playing with us, to teach us, to develop us. And so the friend is also important here. I have to relate to him with love, because if the creator loves him and relates to him with love, how will I not?
I don't know, there are many thoughts, but practically it seems to me that he is the most precious thing for me in my life, the most important for me, the thing that I'd like to invest most in.
That I look for how to bring contentment to the Creator through the friend.
If the Creator is behind the friend, then actually this whole image starts to change, because in my attitude I see everything in the opposite way. Suddenly then it becomes a means of communication with the Creator. He's trying to talk to me through the friends.
Yeah, it opens up this channel of subtlety and fear towards the friend.
I need to relate to the friend cautiously.
Avigdor has this song, the language of the Creator with you. That's the friend, the way the Creator communicates to you. There's no other way.
Sheila.
Rav, a question.
Lilmot.
To study the preface or to study the forward to the Book of Zohar? Who is in favor of the forward to the Book of Zohar? You put up one hand in the air, not two hands, right? And who is in favor of the preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah? More people for the preface. Okay, we'll move on to the preface.